Yo, bar man.
Life's not like Flynn, and you've done all you can. You may need a new plan. Call the helpful snowman. He'll tell you what to do. If your life's tied to poop, he will make you brand new. If you don't like it,
everybody, welcome to another show. I'm Pete, as always. Got a lot to talk about today. Can't be wasting my time. Ain't nobody got time for that. Hang on here, we sound like shit. What's going on? How's that? Better? Worse? Who cares? Well, right off the bat here, gotta say, I think I've decided that I don't like black people. You like how the music just cut out there? Oh, I should have done one of those, like a record, you know. Well, I gotta say, I no longer like black people. You know. This is the fault of a few black men. Okay? I'm not just deciding this. I've been, done some data collecting. Let me tell you some tales of woe. Now, for some reason, black men who go to the gyms where I go love them some Pete. They cannot get enough of me. I don't know why. I don't know what I'm doing that's so alluring to them. But they love it. I know I've told it before. But, you know, just so we can establish the pattern here. The first time I went to a gym, there was a... I used to go swimming sometimes at night because I was an idiot. You know, I thought that this was something appropriate for an adult to do was swim laps. I lost a contact lens in the pool because I didn't know if you could swim with contact lenses on. Then, you know, the end of it was basically when someone said, oh, you can, you just have to wear goggles. And I said, all right, fuck you. You know what I mean? Only goggles I'm wearing is motorcycle goggles as I drive over 18 school buses full of kids on fire. So when I was going swimming, I would get there at 9, a little after 9 p.m. and the pool closed at 10. So precious little time to do the swimming. As we know, I have a very strong stance on making friends at the gym. That stance is no. Fuck you. Is another way of saying that stance. How about you go and kill yourself and then get put in the electric chair and pass away? Not happening, okay? Not your fucking friend at the gym. I don't care what you want to talk about. I don't care who you are. Leave me alone. Leave me alone! Do whatever you came here to do. And if what you came here to do is make friends, go over in the room where they have the weird classes, you know, with the moms over there. That's a good place for you to meet people. They seem to chat before and after the class. Yeah. So, I would get in the pool, lap swimming pool, and there'd be no one in there at 9 p.m. in the winter, except this one other man, a black man, who would just sit in the shallow end, basically, doing that thing that's really uncomfortable that guys do in hot tubs. Sometimes I see them do this in an automobile, where they reach their hand across the other seat, you know, like they have to have their arm at full extension. you know, kind of like they are putting their arm around a person, but who's really far away. Because they're just so, their arm is so long that it could not be contained within a normal seat or just placed on the steering wheel or just laying limp by their side. I don't think these guys are jacking off enough. They should not have that much arm energy to just be flailing it around across seat backs or, you know, spread out in the hot tub like that. This is the male equivalent of a lady wearing a skirt and just letting it all hang loose. You know what I mean? Doing like a yoga pose in the chair. So he would be in the shallow end doing that. I would get there ready to swim. He'd be, hey, how's it going? First couple times. Then when we got to know each other, he asked me if I was interested in basketball. Really, there's no other thing you could say. I mean, it's kind of the perfect way to start a conversation with me because I'll immediately know that we have very little to talk about. If that's your in, if you're like, maybe the guy's into basketball. I don't know if you've noticed that I'm short, I'm white, I'm uncoordinated, I don't like wearing tank tops, I don't like Nike Air shoes, I don't like dark tattoos on dark skin. I don't know if that's a racist thing to say, I just don't think it's very pleasant looking. You know, there's not enough contrast. It's just not contrasty enough for me. That's all. There are many reasons I don't like basketball. I don't like headbands. I don't think they should be worn. But they are, and they are in basketball, and this is one of many reasons I don't like basketball. So when he asked me, do you like basketball, I said, oh God, no. I have no problem when someone says something and I want to end the conversation just saying, oh God, no. You know, if someone, even if someone said, you know, it would be hard for me to resist if someone I was very repulsed by said, do you want to go on a date sometime? It would be hard for me to not just say, oh God, no. You know what I mean? Just someone who I didn't enjoy. If someone said, do you like basketball? And I said, no. And then they proceeded to talk to me about basketball for a half hour and then said, hey, you want to go out sometime? I wouldn't know what to say because I had already wasted my God, no, on basketball. And clearly we still ended up talking about it. So I'd be afraid to say it again. Which is what happened. He proceeded to talk about basketball for a long time. And I quote, back in the day, the Celtics broke a lot of hearts. That might sound racist to you, but he had a bad lisp. Real bad. It wasn't a lisp. It was almost like his tongue was too wide for his mouth. It's hard to imitate without sounding like a racist asshole, okay? But he told me all about the Celtics, which I didn't give a fuck about. You know, so I got to swim for 3 minutes and then had to get out and put my clothes back on. Go home. He was also putting his clothes back on at the time. Now, this was one of the men who goes to the gym and doesn't, there's no line drawn between, you know, locker room. Should I be nude at this activity or not nude? No boundary there. You know, he would stand at the urinal and pee completely naked. Which I, you know, people say, oh, peeing in the shower is gross. I counter watching a man pee at the urinal completely naked. Worse. Much worse. At least I don't have to see it. I don't have to see your butt while you're peeing. And you're standing barefoot on basically what is, you know, just a lacquer layer of pee. A shine embedded layer of urine. You're not doing anyone's favors. At least in the shower, it gets rinsed down. I just ask that you pee towards the beginning of the shower. If you do that, then everything will be fine. You know, we won't have to worry about dealing with your urine, whatever that may mean. Comes out of the shower at one point, totally naked. Towel, he has one, thrown over his shoulder. Now, one might say perhaps that was the last part of himself that he dries. His over-the-shoulder area and, you know, upper back and front of chest. I don't think so. I think he was just being naked. transporting his towel in such a way that he could have hid his genitals, but said, fuck it, it's just the scythe. He comes over to me where I'm getting dressed. I'm vulnerable, half naked. And he says, can I ask you a question? And I was thinking, what the fuck is this going to be, you know? And it had, there was, it was like in the movies when a music note hits, you know what I mean? I'm just, hold on here. I'm just basically getting dressed. And then he comes over and says, hey, can I ask you a question? And I say, I mean, sure. What am I going to say? Fuck no. Don't ask, okay? Which is what I should have said, but I did not. I said, okay. He said, do I look fat? I'm going to just leave that pause there. Because I want you to think what you would say. Now, he was a paunchy. He had a gut. Was he excessively fat? No. Was he fit? No. He was a little fat. What would be your answer when this nude stranger approaches you? Did I need to see his dick to determine if he was fat? No. I would say no. He might say yes, because there it was. Did I need to see him peeing to know that he was fat or not? No. In fact, that wasn't helpful at all. All I saw was his butt. And perhaps he just had a full, round butt and was not fat. But he was a little fat. But what could I say? What did I say? I said, no. I don't know. You look normal to me. Yeah. And then dressed as quickly as I could and, you know, tried to continue talking to him about how he wasn't fat. And he's like, yeah, I'm just trying to get in shape. And I'm like, okay, good. That's a good goal. Maybe if you fucking swim around instead of just peeing naked when you come here, that would be a good first step to getting in shape. That's my advanced recommendation. Okay. But keep on keeping on, my friend. And then I left. Later ran into this man at the Starbucks I used to frequent, where, you know, upon finding out that I was an English major, he asked me if I would read his novel manuscript. Of course I said yes. The reason being, I knew this man was insane and thought, what an interesting look it will be into his mind. What I was not prepared for when he asked me this was that he went to his car and got the only copy of this novel that was, you know, printed on computer paper. And then planned to sit across from me at the Starbucks as I read the entire thing, hundreds of pages. Now, at some point, after I read about 10 pages of craziness, I said, well, I don't think I could just sit here and read this whole thing right now. Which, you know, I mean, what would you expect if I just gave you 500 pages of text and said, hey, will you read this for me? And then just sat there looking up at you like, huh? What do you think? Do you like that part? You know. So he said, oh, that's cool. You can just keep it and I'll get it back from you here at Starbucks. And I said, okay. Turned out to be, it's hard to describe, but it's like if you crossed Dead Poets Society with an episode of, you know, Nickelodeon's Snicks. Are You Afraid of the Dark? It was about some kind of teacher who was teaching, you know, poor youths with leather jackets and gangbangers. They entered some sort of a carnival where they went in these buildings and they saw these crazy scenarios played out where people were getting killed, but they were just actors. Or, I don't know, it was insane. It was bizarre. I think there's chance of it getting publication as some sort of medical reference for schizophrenia. You know, like, if your guy is writing shit like this, there may be a problem. So I finally, you know, caught up with him again, gave it back to him. He said, what did you think? And much like I had talked about his fat body, I said, seems pretty good. Yeah, I liked it. I don't know. what's your plans with it? You know, get it published or... Thus ends the story of my first black friend. Okay? My second black friend, very short-lived, was also at a gym. This was at a gym I did not frequent. I went to one time, a gym in Denver. You know, it was just a convenience thing, and I went to a crappier gym. And there, I was doing something, and this old black man who was there came up and said, I ain't seen anybody do that for a long time, to what I was doing. And I said, yeah. And he's like, yeah, it's tough, but effective. And I said, I guess so. I don't know, you know. You're an old black man. I'm me. If everyone trusts you, if you told someone that this was an effective weightlift maneuver, they'd probably believe you. You know, this is how boxers end up chasing chickens around a yard. So that was that. That one was not bad. That was an okay interaction. You know, he said the thing, then we both moved on. That brings us to yesterday. Had not had one of these for a while, you know. And then I'm lifting weights. And I stop, you know, taking a breather, standing out of the way, looking at one of the televisions showing the motion picture Gladiator. And I feel something rubbing up against me. And I think, oh, someone's trying to get by. So I start moving. Well, it turned out to be a black man standing there with his hand rubbing my stomach. I'm not making this up. He came up to me while I was not looking. I was unawares. And just put his hand on my stomach and rubbed it to feel my abdomen. And he seemed pleased with what he felt and then said, what you do? This is a very annoying thing. And here's why. I said, I don't know, anything, all kinds of stuff, you know, tons of different stuff. I come here and I exercise. I don't come here and explain it to people. That's probably my key to fitness number one. You know, don't make friends at the fucking gym because they aren't going to help you be better at the gym. This is a fact. He says all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, I'm just trying to get back in shape. I've been out of it for a little while, so I'm just trying to get cut, you know? I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. So how long you been out of it? And he's like, about 10 years. Okay. So listen, motherfucker. You're going to just come up, touch my stomach, ask me what my secret is, and then reveal, yeah, I haven't worked out for 10 years. Well, here's secret number two, asshole. Work out more than once every 10 years. That would be a good start. You know what I mean? That's my advanced tip of the day. See if you come back in 2 days, and then maybe I'll be willing to, I don't know. What do you think I'm going to say? Oh yeah, I do one of this special sit-up every 10 fucking years, and then I'm good. You haven't heard of this yet? This is a big trick that I invented. Get ready, because this ain't funny. My name is Peter D. You're about to get ripped. God damn. You know, very annoying. It's very annoying when people ask, like, what do you do? And it's like, I spend 2 hours a day here, so I don't know. You know, I don't know. It's just, that's what happens. You come here, you look for the two guys who appear to be in good shape, you watch what they do, you do some of that, plus whatever you normally do. And then eventually, you have a stable of stuff, and you just do it, and you rotate through it. You know what I mean? It's, people ask, but they're not real serious. You know, this motherfucker came up to me the other day, and I was holding free weights a certain way from the top instead of from the bottom. And he said, why do you hold them that way? I had to take out my headphones for him to say, how come you hold them this way instead of that way? And I said, because it's good to hold them different ways. It does different stuff. And he's like, oh, okay. Like I was going to have more of an explanation than that, you know? Oh, well, yeah, according to the science I learned at the Max Muscle Store, here's what... Fuck that shit, man. Jesus Christ, everyone thinks there's going to be some big secret. Big secret. So yeah, I had to, you know, basically tell this guy, hey, you know, I don't know, just exercise would be a good start if that's what your goal is. He says, all right. And then I was like... I had to excuse myself from the conversation. I had to say, hey, well, I'm going to get back to it. And he's like, yeah, I saw you doing that. That's effective. You know, just like the other guy. It was very odd. So two out of three interactions I've had with black people at the gym have been extremely negative. I'm not saying they've been negative. I'm saying they're some of the more negative interactions I've had in my life. You know what I mean? If I could eliminate them. One was showing me his naked body and asking me if he was fat. I've never even had a girlfriend do that to me. You know what I mean? That's the typical, oh, your girlfriend, she's always asking, does this make me look fat? Ha, ha, ha. And I say, no, it's your ugly face because it's so wide. No, this was a man that I didn't even know. You know, I don't even want to talk to someone there. And he's forcing me to be delicate about his feelings because he's fucking naked. You can see his balls. Then, you know, I have a guy just touch my stomach. Just touch, rub it. You know, like I'm a fucking Buddha statue. You cannot just touch people, okay? I've seen butts that I would just touch if I thought that was an option. If I thought I could just touch someone's butt and then say, oh, what do you do to get this? If I thought that was something that we could do, I'd have done it by now. Or I would at least know that that was an option by now, I think. I think I would have seen this happen, been horrified, then seen it happen a couple more times and been like, I guess we're just touching people's butts now. I guess this is what's happening. You know, I guess that's okay. In 2013, we finally got to the level where we're willing to touch people's butts and they are willing to accept our couching it as an excuse of, I just wanted to see what exercise you're doing for your butts. What exercise are you doing for your rack? Like these breasts. I'm just going to fondle them a little bit and then ask you about your exercise thing, and that makes it cool, right? Okay to just touch. Not even, you know, say, ma'am, I'm going to touch your breast now. I hope that's okay. Just reach and grab for it and then fucking feel it up and then say, what you do? What the fuck, man? What the fuck? Not cool. Very not cool. I don't like to be touched. I'm extremely depressed. And human contact sends electrical currents through my body that I do not appreciate at this juncture. Okay, the last time I was this lonely, I hugged a friend and got a huge boner. It was terrible. This was not a good thing. Not since prom and I had this sort of spontaneous boner that I desperately wanted to get rid of and had to walk away with my hands in my pockets. This is the only reason a suit has pockets, so you can lean over and try and like cover, you put your hand in your pocket and try and push the boner down, you know, and then also hope that people mistake your boner for a hand. I guess that kind of looks like a hand if you sort of made it into a bird beak or something. So there you go. You know, I defy anyone to change my mind. I'm open-minded, which means I'm willing to change my mind on this issue. But for the time being, I just don't think this is working for me. Okay? It's not working out. And I don't think it's my fault. I think I've been victimized here. Moving on. Moving on. Ugh. I'm getting ready to go camping. I had a tent set up in here last night. That was fun. Good test of how shitty your home is. Do you have a room that's large enough where you could set up a tent? You know? For me, the answer is sort of. Nice big long scratch on one of the walls from the pole. I swear to God, when I move out of here, my landlord is just going to be like, I know it's been a decade, but what the fuck, man? What were you doing in here? I'm looking at a closet. The thing's completely off the rails here. Got walls that I had to seal from ants, and I just used Gorilla Glue because it expands nicely, and then covered that in, you know, some kind of plaster shit. I mean, there are going to be holes in the wall. Like, unbelievable. But, you know, whatever. I mean, at this point, I figure I think people should stop thinking about, you know, everyone bitches about their damage deposit. Oh my God, we had to do a $500 damage deposit. You know, think about that over a period of 10 years. You know what I mean? What is that? What does that even equal? That's like nothing. You know what I mean? If you divide that $500 over 10 years, that's nothing. It's like 50 bucks a year, right? So, I mean, that's nothing. So who cares? Just call it a day. I mean, if someone said you could rent an apartment and if you pay 50 bucks a year, I don't give a fuck what you do to it, then I think you'd be in good shape. You know? I would be fine with that. I mean, I really think that, you know, I might just have to move out and, you know, not move out the furniture and just say, hey, man, damage deposit, right? Fuck it. We both knew that was a gamble. I mean, landlords should probably make you do a new damage deposit every 5 years or something. Come and do an assessment, do some fix-ups, and then say, okay, listen, you can't just put, like, lag bolts in the wall here. This is not. That's coming out of your original deposit. We'll put that back in the other, you know, when you put your new deposit, we'll worry about it. Oh, I was thinking about the other day. You know, sex rumors. Do you remember these sex rumors from when you were young? I was hearing this, you know, it was like a sex rumor thing about, you know, the old chestnut of the girl who straddled the, I don't know if it's the gear shift or the parking brake on the car. I've heard both. I've heard the gear shift. That seems like the knob there seems quite large to me. I mean, that gear shift knob, if you think about, like, the ones where they've got a, you know, an eight ball, a pool ball, I mean, that's, at its widest point, that's fucking pretty wide. That's an accomplishment. I don't know. Here's the thing that's funny about, no, I'll get to that later. But, you know, the parking brake, that doesn't really come straight up in most cars, does it? I mean, it's kind of like 45-degree angle, maybe a little more. Doesn't seem convenient. You know, it'd be like if I got hard and instead of sticking, pointing straight out 90 degrees perpendicular to my body, my boner just sort of went up a little bit. Or it went up too far. You know, 120 degrees or something. It's getting real mathematical. But I was thinking about the sex rumors I heard in my real life, you know. The first one I ever heard was in elementary school. And someone told me about this girl. Did you hear what that girl did at lunch the other day? And I said, no. And they said, she was masturbating. She put a hot dog in her vagina, and a piece of it broke off, and she had to go to the hospital. This was fun because at that age, I didn't even really understand why you would put a hot dog in your vagina, what the goal was there. Why you would do it in school at lunch. I did understand that it breaking off, that sort of horrified me in a way. Because I was like, oh my God, how would you ever get it out? You know, but now having fished a condom out of somebody in the past, it's really, it's possible. You just gotta have, no guts, no glory, right? But, you know, the next rumor, I mean, that one seemed like a bunch of bullshit. Because there was that girl sitting at lunch the next day. I was like, okay. And by the way, if I was going to put a hot dog in my vagina, I guarantee you it would be Vienna beef. The only hot dog that we should all be eating. We did have a quick commercial for them here. Let's see if we can pull this up. That's right. Vienna beef hot dogs. This is the only hot dog made with real sheepskin casing. That natural casing preserves all the juices, herbs, and spices that go into the hot dog process. If you want Chicago's best, you want Vienna beef. And if you're going to masturbate yourself with a hot dog, why choose a lesser hot dog? Granted, they say the ballpark Frank plumps as you cook them, so maybe the heat inside would fatten it up and that would be more like having sex with a dick. But you're putting a hot dog in yourself. How real are you trying to get? Are you trying to be real or trying to use a hot dog? Because I think you're trying to use a hot dog. Vienna beef. Always the right choice. Whether you're putting the hot dog in your mouth, or putting it in your mouth sexually, or putting it in your vagina as a child. So that was the first rumor. That was the big one that made the rounds, you know, that I didn't really believe even then because there was just too much that I didn't understand. The next one was from about the same time, which was that one of the retarded kids had sex with one of the other retarded kids. The reason this rumor had such legs was because it was started by one of the retarded kids. Okay, I don't know if it was started by him, but it was certainly pushed forward by him. You know, he kept saying he was a kid who could walk, sort of, and she was in a wheelchair. She was known for being in a wheelchair and always saying, ouch, so that people would talk to her because they'd say, oh, what's wrong? And then she would just, you know, that's when she kind of ran out of ideas. So apparently, according to his story, she was in a beanbag chair. He ran over and had sex with her when the teacher was not in the room. End of the story. It was a pretty strange story because I remember him telling me this story in the lunch line. I have this distinct memory of him saying and describing the incident. And the girl in the wheelchair was there. And I just looked at her and I was like, not really my cup of tea. Handicapped girl in the wheelchair who's in like first grade. I mean, our tastes all change. You know, God knows. God knows, made the same offer today. Who knows what I would pick, right? But at that time, I was like, I don't know about that. You know. And then I pictured what his dick looked like. Because I had seen his fingers, and his fingers were all fucked up. You know, weird looking, warty or something. Crooked. I wondered what his dick looked like. This was a good thing to think about in the lunch line when you're in first grade. This is why I think that when your kid says, I did nothing at school today, you shouldn't push the issue too much. You know, because when my mom asked, what did you do at school today? And I said, nothing. She could say, okay, you must have done something. Come on. I could say, okay. Well, I thought about what this retarded kid's dick looked like. How's that? Does that sound good to you? Or should I, do you want me to go on? I could describe the vision for you. This was in the context of him claiming he had sex with the wheelchair girl. You know the one, the owl one. Do you want to explain sex to me at this point more thoroughly? Because I'm a little lost. That was rumor number two. Those aren't really that fun. The third one, though, real fun. This was the beginning of junior high. You know, everything was different. Big, big new year. And I went to school registration. This was always terrible because this was the first reminder that school was indeed coming back with a vengeance. You know, you had to go there, say, okay, yeah, I have a blood type. Big fucking deal. You know, I don't know why they make it so hard to go to school. Like, nobody could just walk in there. I mean, I went to school with, like, the biggest reprobates and assholes you've ever met. Who were they keeping out? What was the screening process there? Or was it more about making sure we had enough shitheads to balance out, you know? We would get some kind of state funding as long as you had a certain percent shitheads. There's a pie chart, and one of the pie wedges is brown. Those are the shitheads that have to be in your school that prevent learning and fun. I was there and someone said, did you hear what Stephanie Johnson did this summer? To which I thought, why would I know anything about anyone, you know? Of course I didn't, but I'd love to hear it. Please regale me. And this person went on to tell me that she allegedly was giving some guy a blowjob, gagged on his penis, and threw up all over his penis. I thought this was great. For some reason, at this time, this is the big difference. This is what I wanted to get to, these sex rumors. At this time, somehow that made it more, you know, Pete came back to school with a little spring in his step. Because he could say, you know what? Maybe I hate being here. Maybe I hate everyone here and everything they represent. But at least I'm not the one starting school with the rumor flying around that I gave a failed blowjob over the summer. It was a small victory, but I'll take it. I mean, if that's what I've got, I'll take it. You know, I'm not a picky man. Not picky. So it was good. I knew somebody else was going to be lower on the social totem pole. Now, I didn't put that person there. I didn't really get interested in spreading this rumor. I mean, I think I told some people, like two, because I had two friends. You know what I mean? I don't know if they told anyone. I don't think they had other friends on the side that they weren't informing me about, you know, just to make sure I stayed enough of a lonely fuck. But, I don't know. It was a good rumor in that way at the time. Now, let's talk about modern day Pete. If modern day Pete heard this rumor about one of his cohorts, somebody he knew, you know, some lady who came into his work, and then someone else said, I have a little tale to tell about her, I'd say, okay, one of my male friends went on a date with this lady. She was giving him a ba-doom-dong-j. And at some point, sort of flew too close to the sun, let's say. You know, the head of that penis was too close to the sun, being the back of the throat. And she threw up all over his penis. I don't think I would have a problem with that. I would think it was funny, but I don't think I would react the same way. I think I'd be totally cool with that and say, you know what? Good for her, man. You know what I mean? If you don't try anything, you'll never know. You'll never know if you could have given the greatest blowjob of your life. You'll just be wondering. You know what I mean? Do you want to be an old lady sitting on the porch wondering, could I have really sucked that dick? Like my life depended on it? But you know what? I backed down before I could find out. I'll never know now. Now I'll never know. Then you die, never knowing. Well, she knows. She knows her limits. And she's a trooper. I don't know. Something to be said for that. I mean, it's fine. That's fine. Plus, I don't think I would have a problem with someone throwing up on my penis. That's a great story. As long as they don't mind me talking about it on a podcast that eight people listen to. Whatever, you know? That's fun. To me, that's fun. I mean, it would be hard not to laugh. I would be more upset about, you know, like puke on the bed. I would hope that most of it got on me and my penis, because that makes the cleanup real easy. I would hope that the person wouldn't be gun-shy after that. I feel like I'm being overly complimentary to my penis right now, you know? This is not what I'm saying, but you know what I'm saying. I can't even read what this says. Freaking... Oh, fucking the gear shift knob. We already went over that. Anyway, I haven't heard any of these sex rumors for a long time. I'd like somebody to start some about some people I know, because I think these sex rumors are fun. I also had a project that I needed to get around to. Every year I make a summer list. This is a list of things that I need to do over the summer, because I fucking hate the summer. And this summer is no exception. I think it's the shittiest season. I think people only like it because it's a carryover from childhood, when this was the time you had off. As an adult, there's no reason for you to not take your vacations in the spring and the fall. You know what I mean? Why go to New York City in July when it's 100 degrees and 100% humidity? Everything's crowded as fuck. Why are you going to Disney World in August? Just go in October. You are a grown-up. This is one of the good things about being a grown-up. The only difference in the seasons as an adult should be the weather. And it is too fucking hot. It is too hot. Furthermore, the cold, people complain to me about the cold. I don't like to say, you know, how awesome I am. I'm not just talking about this, but here's the thing. I still go jogging outside every day in the winter. So I spend a lot of time outside, at least an hour a day. It's fine. You're fine. Just dress warm, and everything is fine. You'll be okay. It's not that bad. And it's better because all the shitheads stay inside. All these motherfuckers. Watch this stupid piece of shit spend 40 minutes trying to take, you know, the top off of his Jeep. You know, his Jeep is like wearing some stupid bra over the top instead of having a roof. It's great. Maybe my apartment will do that. You know, if the roof part of it comes off, my landlord can just throw an old bra up there and we'll be fine. And it's like, oh, I can't wait. It's so great. It's summer. Let me take the bra off of my Jeep. So anyway, summer list to try and tamp down some of the hatred. One of the things on my summer list this year, what are some of the past items? You know, it's things like be drunk on a patio, be drunk on a river, you know, but that's going to happen. There's nothing I can do to stop that. I don't know what I'm going to do this year. You know, I don't really want to do anything, but one thing I want to do is purchase a little product called Stadium Pal. Here's what a Stadium Pal is. Many of you may know this from the hilarious essay by humorist, or as we would call him because he's often on NPR, humorist, David Sedaris. A Stadium Pal is basically an external catheter that you put on with some length of surgical tubing that leads into a bag. What this means is you put on a sort of condom and pee into it, and the pee runs down the tube into a reservoir, because it's fancy, reservoir, that is strapped to your calf. Some may say this is like having a pee bag on you. To them I say, nay, for some of us, this is much more. This is freedom, my friend. This is freedom from the tyranny of no public restroom. This is freedom from going to Star Trek Into Darkness extremely drunk and having to get up to pee 4 times during the film. This is freedom from the worst part of a baseball game. I could choose to go to the restroom, stand in the center with my hands on my hip and just pee into my Stadium Pal. I have a problem where I often need to pee. For a while, I think I may have had some kind of bladder infection. The reason I say that is because I would go a half hour and then have the sudden, desperate urge to pee. This happened often. Now, though, I can usually make it. However, I can remember many times of misery holding a pee and wondering when I was going to pee. Stadium Pal could be the answer to this. I don't know if it's the answer, but if it is, I'm going to be happy. So the first step I discovered is sizing yourself for the catheter. Now, when I say catheter, this is not a tube that goes up your urethra. This is essentially a condom. You know, a hard condom. However, because, you know, you're going to be peeing into this, it can't be loose. It's got to be fairly tight so that the pee goes down the tube, doesn't come up the condom. You know what I mean? If the tube was pinched off and it just started filling up the condom, then you're just basically peeing your pants with a barrier. You know, you've got about a half-second window of what's oh, I'm peeing in my pants. Fuck. Thanks a shitload, Stadium Pal. So the first step is finding the correct catheter, which means sizing yourself. I printed out a handy size guide. Here's how this works. It's a sheet of paper, and there were several half circles on it. And what you do is you cut out the bottom of the paper, And then you cut out each of these half circles so that it makes, you know, I'm holding the paper in front of me and it looks like a jack-o'-lantern's teeth or something. Bunch of half moons. You're supposed to put these, you know, you take one half moon and put it down over the top of your penis. And when it fits, that's the size you need. Much like we all remember Cinderella did. You know, where the guy somehow had a casting of her clitoris, and by placing tiny strips of paper over it, he measured until he found the one that was the exact correct size of the woman he loved. Couldn't recognize her fucking face, but her foot size was the most accurate way to find her. Could not touch her body after dancing with her for hours. Could not dance with her and say, oh, you've got the moves. Could not look into her eyes. Could not look at her bosom. Could not watch her run away with one shoe on and say, I recognize that panicked run anywhere. No, no. Shoe was the answer. Perfect sense. So this is my Cinderella story. I have to figure out whether I'm a small, medium, intermediate, large, or X-large. So, to that end, it says measure yourself in a relaxed state closest to your body. So I guess that's at the base. How low can you go? We're about to find out. So I'm measuring the base of my penis here with this thing. Small. Pretty small. I'm using my index finger. That seems about to be small. Sorry, anyone who's got a small. Medium. Also quite small. Intermediate. Maybe. Large. I mean, I'm definitely not an extra large. That's for sure. Somewhere between a large and an intermediate. I mean, the problem is the intermediate fits. Well, here's the other problem. Boy, how to say this. My boy is not like a perfect cylinder, okay? Fat head at the top. Fat oblong penis head. Great episode title. I hope I remember it. I am a little concerned that the intermediate could not fit over that part. But I don't want to get the large. I feel like that's saying, you know, it's embarrassing. I order the large. And then have to come crawling back and say, just kidding, I probably need the intermediate. 4 millimeter difference, it's really not that much. But I think I'm going the large. You know what I mean? Nothing a babe likes more. Nothing a babe appreciates more than going to a guy's house. Go looking through his medicine cabinet, doing a little snooping, doing a little Velma, seeing that, oh, he has a stadium pal, and he's a large. That's going to work. That's going to be a good one. Oh, fuck me. That gets the ladies real wet, you know. Oh, his external catheter that he uses to urinate in public and fill a pee bag on his leg is a large. You know what they say about a guy who uses a large external catheter to urinate in while he's in public and fill a bag of pee that he just kicks around on his leg for the rest of the afternoon. Gotta give me a piece of that, huh? Cannot wait. Cannot not hardly wait. Jesus Christ. Couple other pieces of business that I just needed to get taken care of. I just want to run through. I've got a list of things here that I needed to talk about. You know what? Maybe we'll save it. Maybe what we need to do at the end of the summer is a wrap-up show where anything I haven't gotten to, we get to. You know, I've got a lot of good stuff here. Scavenger hunt thing. Something about kidnapping girls and putting them in a basement. Slow dancing to YMCA. Ripping my pants. Pimp Daddy Boney. Reading books in the bathtub. Tiger Beat magazine. All kinds of great stuff. But I think we're going to save that, you know? And we can just do a big wrap-up show where I go through a bunch of things and get drunk and then say, I don't remember what that is. Why do you even listen to this show? Oh my God, my life. So you have that to look forward to. Thanks for listening once again. Real penis-centric show, huh? I mean, it covered all the topics of this show, which is racism and penis talk, so I didn't really talk about shit. I don't know if I have anything good that's shit-wise. Oh, you know what? I went into an outhouse in Boulder about a week ago. Entire floor covered in blood. I was just gonna pee, and then I saw the entire floor was covered in blood and said, no thank you. Even I wouldn't pee in there. Standing on the blood, I thought, no thanks. This is why I need the stadium, pal. This is the perfect example. Maybe my previous worst urine situation, worst bathroom urine situation, which was a urinal in San Francisco, covered in blood also. You know, like someone had sneezed blood all over it, speckled. And I thought, fuck me, no way in hell. This one was pretty similar. Bake it in the heat on the floor. So there we go. It's as close as we'll get to shit. I mean, blood and shit are kind of the same, right? I'm pretty sure shit is what's coursing through my veins anyway. Thanks again for listening. Share us on Facebook. Share us with a friend or a relative or something. Say, hey, you would love this show. You talk about pee bags all the time. You know, make it personal. And subscribe to the show on iTunes. Please, God.